Chapter 8, Through Rain. "I don't like this," Anna said, picking at the button on her shirt. "I've never seen so many people before. Kansas City's airport was nice and calm. This place reminds me of a beehive that's been whacked with a stick." "We haven't even left the terminal yet. I wonder what it's like out there," Tony asked as he pointed towards the exit doors. "It's probably worse than it is in here."
"I'm not so sure I want to be here," said Anna.
"Yeah, what a morning," Mo moaned.
"I thought we were goners on our flight, and I was nearly heaved my breakfast. I should have had my head examined, and I should have stayed at home."
"That's called air turbulence, Mo. Nearly heaving is a small price to pay for fame."
"Don't forget why we're here," Tony replied.
"David Letterman, The Late Show, the top..."
"I know, but this is creepy," said Anna, looking at her watch. "It's only 9:45. Maybe we can get a flight back to Kansas."
Mr. Gore cleared his throat. All three kids turned and looked at him. He leaned against the wall with his arms crossed over his huge chest. "Don't forget why I'm here, kiddos. Everything is going to be okay." He paused and joined the kids.
"LaGuardia is a piece of cake. I have been through this airport many times.
We'll be out of here in no time at all. We just need to hook up our limo driver, and he'll take us to the Michelangelo, where we can grab a shower and relax before..."
"The Michael what?" interrupted Tony.
"The Michelangelo," said Mr. G. "A charming hotel not too far from the Ed Sullivan Theater. Anyway, before you know it, we'll be chanting with David Letterman."
"Excuse me, sir," interrupted an airport security guard as he walked up to Mr. Gore.
"Please stop over there with me for a couple of minutes." He motioned to a nearby spot where two more security guards were standing.
Mr. Gore glanced at the other guards.
"Excuse me?"
"Security check, sir. And bring your carry-on bag as well."
"Come on, kids," Mr. Gore said. He did not look pleased.
"I'm sorry, sir. The children must stay here. They will not be out of sight. We'll just be a few feet away."
"But I'm their chaperone," Mr. Gore protested.
"Now, sir," the security guard said.
"Okay," Mr. Gore said. "Give me 1 minute." Mr. Gore quarreled with the three kids together.
"Do not leave this spot for no reason. Do you understand?"
"Yeah, sure," Mo said.
"Yes, sir," said Anna.
"No problemo," said Tony.
"And don't give them any trouble, Mr. G. You don't want to end up in the slammer."
Mr. Gore rolled his eyes, walked away, and mumbled, "I knew I'd regret this trip, and I should have seen a shrink."
The three kids watched as the guards searched through Mr. Gore's bag.
"Mr. G doesn't look too happy," Anna said.
Mo motioned to the right.
"Did you hear that? What's that noise?"
A low rumble reverberated through the airport, getting louder and louder, and then a sea of people rounded a corner and rushed down the terminal towards the kids.
"Totally weird," declared Anna.
Tony exclaimed, "That's Alicia Keenan coming towards us, I'm sure of it."
"Yeah, right," said Mo.
"No way."
"It is," squealed Anna, standing on her tiptoes to get a better look. "There must be a million people following her."
"This is so cool," said Tony.
"First, we're going to get to meet Alicia Keenan, then we're going to meet David Letterman. I wonder who else we'll meet today."
"With my luck, Barney," replied Mo.
In a matter of seconds, the wave of people, Alicia Keenan, bodyguards, paparazzi, television crews, and a throng of screaming fans engulfed Tony, Anna, and Mo, and swept them towards the exit doors.
"Grab my hands," Tony hollered.
Anna grabbed Tony's left hand, Mo grabbed Tony's right hand, and a split second later, Mr. Gore broke away from the security guard and reached for Mo's free hand. But before he could grab it, the wave of people rushed forward and carried the three kids away. The wave rushed through the exit doors and crashed into the street. A long white limo was parked right by the curbside, its back door open. The street looked like a stormy ocean of people surging back and forth. The three kids, still holding hands, found themselves caught in the surge. At one moment, they were pushed forward, and the next backward. They were tossed about the pieces of driftwood and rough seas.
"We have to get out of this mess and find Mr. Gore," said Tony.
"Follow me."
"Okay," said Mo.
Tony pushed through the crowd with Mo and Anna following close behind.
"Mr. Gore, where are you?" Anna cried.
"Mr. Gore, we're over here," Mo shouted.
"By the..."
He frantically looked around for a landmark as his voice died out. There was not one to be seen, just people, concrete walls, windows, piles of snow, and various vehicles. People yelled,
People pushed. Jess roared overhead. He probably can't hear us, Tony said above the pandemonium. It's too crazy out here. Let's just keep going. Eventually, the crowd thinned slightly, and the kids popped out of the sea of people near a taxi stand. 1 minute, said Anna. My mom gave me her cell phone. I have Mr. Gorsell's number. I'm going to call him and tell him we're okay. He's probably really worried about us. Good idea, said Mo. Anna pulled a cell phone out of her pocket, punched in the numbers, and placed the call. She waited a bit and then hung up the phone. All I got was the stupid recording that was saying his number wasn't available and a call later. What do we do now? Anna asked, plopping herself down on the icy street curb. Tears trickled down her cheeks. That's a good question, Mo said, plopping himself down right on her right side. A very good question, Tony said, plopping herself down on her left side. The three of them silently stared at the confusion around them. The reverie was broken by a short, dark-skinned man. May Raj help you? May who do what? Tony asked, looking at the stranger. May Raj help you? The stranger paused and adjusted the white turban on his head. Tears on a girl's face. Girl not happy. No kidding, Tony said. None of us are going to do the happy dance right now. All of us are out in the freezing our hinders off. Happy dance? Hinder? You're not from around here, are you? No, Raj from Mumbai. The stranger said as a big smile creased his face. Mumbai in India. No snow in Mumbai. Mr. Raj, how can you help us? Tony asked. Raj taxi driver, the stranger proudly replied. Best taxi driver in New York City. Raj was best child psychologist in Mumbai. As soon as Raj gets psychologist license here, he will be best child psychologist in New York City. That's great, Nom, replied Mo, but I don't see how that's going to help us. Yeah, agreed Anna, wiping the tears from her cheek. Wait a minute, Tony said, hopping to his feet. Maybe Mr. Raj can take us to the late... Yeah, Mo interrupted. That's a great idea. I don't know, Anna said. What about Mr. Gore? How will we ever find him? Don't forget that he said that he's been to New York City a bunch of times, and he can take care of himself, said Tony. And besides, Dave will know how to find him. Taxis aren't free, you know. Tony reached to his pocket and took out a wad of money and waved it in Anna's face. This should be enough. Where'd you get that? Tony smiled. I raided my piggy bank. Mo hopped up. Way to go, TB. I've got some money, too, so we're in good shape. Let's get out of here. Tony turned to the taxi driver. Mr. Raj, can you give us a ride? Of course, and you will be lucky. Lovely girl can take Raj, or tell Raj why she is crying while Raj is driving, and Raj will help her feel better. Tony reached down, grabbed Anna's hand, and pulled her up. She brushed off the snow off her backside and smiled at the taxi driver. Let's go, Mr. Fantastic. He smiled at Anna. Follow Raj, Angel. He pushed through the crowd of people, and the three kids followed closely behind. A couple of minutes later, they reached the grimy yellow taxi. He popped the trunk open. Raj, glad to help. The three kids tossed their backpacks into the trunk and hopped into the back seat. Thanks, Mr. Raj, said Tony. Raj, glad to help, he repeated, as he climbed into the front seat and started the engine. Tony tapped on the plexiglass barrier between the front seat and the back seat. Raj slid the small window open between the kids and himself. Why is this here? Tony asked, tapping on the plexiglass again. So bad guy can't get Raj. Oh, great, said Mo. Now we have to worry about criminals, too. I knew we should have stayed in Kansas City. Raj know Kansas City, in middle of America, yes? Yes, said Anna. It's in the middle of America. That's where we're from. Raj from Mumbai. Yeah, we know, Tony said. Is it okay if we leave now? Raj ready. Where do you want to go? Can you please take us to the Lettermans? No problem. About an hour later, the taxi pulled up in front of a huge building that stretched a full city two blocks. Tony opened the door and climbed out of the taxi. What? He said as he stared up at the classic building and the large words etched on the doorway. Neither rain nor snow, nor heat nor gloom of night stays these corridors from the swift completion of their appointed rounds.